Good afternoon. Somebody caught it. Okay, good morning. Good morning to everyone. Good morning. I think people are still coming in. So today, thank you, Stanley. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies and goodness and the privilege we had and we have in our Lord Jesus Christ to come to you to give our thanks and adoration and worship. Thank you for the way that you opened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, came into this world, died on our behalf on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. Thank you, Father, for your love and mercy and grace. As we open your word this morning, may it be from you and help us to have a listening ears and understanding hearts. In Christ's name we pray. All right, if I can ask these two lights to be cut a little bit, thank you. All right, our intention is to, was to, I must confess, to go through all the four chapters of Second Timothy, and I myself, after I got into chapter 1, some details, decided I will not do that, but I had at least the secret desire to go through the first two chapters, and since I was not able to do last week and the week prior to that, we had some other arrangements at the chapel. So now it works out, and we will conclude with chapter 1 today, and we will take a look at what the remaining verses are to be thought of as the Lord allows us to. So let's read from verse 11. Verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul going through encouragements and then coming into two verses of explaining the work of salvation. He goes now and says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. I am certainly reading not from King James or NKJV. I am reading from NIV. Usually I don't use NIV, but this happened to be today. So our attempt was to at least frame a little bit of what chapter 1 means, and we could go on even longer days or classes, but the purpose of Paul was to encourage him and seem like he was timid, so bring him up. And then he was asked to follow a certain pattern. So summary of last 2 weeks, Paul's love and regard to Paul Timothy. We looked at that. And Timothy's legacy and firm foundation in faith. Paul's call for him to be not to be timid in his faith and responsibilities. That is the greatest call in this epistle, actually. and there are more, but that is the greatest meaning. That is what Paul wants to see. He wants to see the continuation of the ministry to go on, not that it may end. Then reminder that the spirit in us is not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Seems like my... Okay, anyway, the connection is lost. And yeah. Paul's, then he says, there are two directives that we looked at. One is rekindle, and the other is do not be ashamed. These directives are very important in the pastoral epistles as a whole, but 2 Timothy has the most number of directives that he gives us. So just be patient with me. I am sure I got knocked out of here. So I'm completely out. Technical difficulties. Well, we had 5 minutes to spare. Scott was kind enough to leave though early for us, so here we go. We'll bring up the screen. You are here. Summary of last 2 weeks. Okay. Paul's brief reminder that we should, how the salvational plan was purposed, executed by God through Christ Jesus by his incarnation and death on the cross. And that was because of the love of our Lord, love of the Father. So, so then he goes on to the next verse here. And the apostle, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And he was saying this not because he was boasting himself, but this was to be an encouragement for Timothy. What is this assurance Paul has? For this great cause, and I live or I die. And it is emphasized by the next verse that's coming up. He gives me courage. I am not ashamed. Timothy, you are ashamed, but I am not ashamed. For this purpose to which I am called. What are the purposes for which he was called? He was called to be an apostle, a preacher. And this word used here, I am not a Greek person, but from the root words, he was a proclaimer. Whether people listened or not, it didn't matter. But what mattered was, as the king's servants come and proclaim his coming, whether people are hearing or not, he was announcing this good news. He was a herald. He was a proclaimer. And he was indeed, of course, a preacher. But the word used there actually means he was a herald. He was declaring the news about the king. As an apostle, of course, he was the one laying the foundation, and the greatest of all of the apostles, as we will call him, one laying the foundation, because we have almost 14, if not 13, books written by him, which really laid the foundation of the New Testament theology that we uphold and adhere to today. As a teacher, as a pastor teacher, or we can call him elder, right? We don't have too many places we can assuredly say he was an elder of Ephesus, where I think he was the most, but we can say he acted as an elder. He appointed elders, or even clearly he asked Titus to go and appoint, actually he asked Timothy to remove some elders or reestablish the leadership, and then he asked in Titus go appoint elders. So he as a teacher and as an elder, as a person who was in authority, was taking up these three major positions during his ministry of about 30 years. Amazing ministry that we know. I suffer. This is why I suffer. And we heard a lot this morning, and a very fruitful ministry from our brother. I have actually one of those verses coming up soon. So I suffer because I know. That's a key verse, a key word. I suffer because I know. The sufferings of Paul is unmatched. But it is, you know, when he was writing this, he was writing this epistle in a dungeon, dark, stingy, I should say stinky, not probably chained, but with other criminals. But what a wonderful faith, what a wonderful hope, what a wonderful example he's laying out for Timothy. Timothy, you are just a little bit afraid because you are afraid of Nero or other persecutions that may come at you. Look where I am, and I am not ashamed, because I know why. He is able. I know he is able because I have entrusted my salvation and life into his hands. And I know he will bring it to fruitfulness at the end of the day. Because I know. We can ask that question ourselves. Do we know? Do you know? Do we have that assurance in us? Are we willing to take up suffering? Shame? I do not know everybody's state. I know how I was, and I was not in my younger days. I was, as we heard this morning, I was born in a family. I was baptized, I declared, and I came to know the Lord actually when I was young, and I was baptized. But when I was in my younger days, meaning very younger days, I was not bold. I didn't want my friends to know. But how are we today? Maybe something to think about. Or do you believe him that he is able? Do you know him? Do we know him? Do we know our Lord? Do we know what he wants from us? Do we know him? Then he says, follow something. Follow this pattern. Why? Because this is the foundation that we have laid. There is a foundation. Follow the pattern of the sound words or the sound doctrine. Follow the pattern of the sound doctrine. What is that he was to follow? Sound words. Biblically, it is the purity of the doctrine. Contamination is coming every day, every moment, from everywhere. And what is the pattern? What you heard from Jesus Christ and me. What you heard? Timothy, we have no evidence he heard it from Jesus Christ, but Paul assuredly keeps emphasizing that the teaching of the Christ, you must follow because I know it. I have been taught. That is the pattern. And it's interesting verse here, it's from 1 Timothy 4:6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant. What is it that he has to put before the other believers, other brothers? You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and good doctrine. And what you have followed. You have followed good doctrine, and you have this knowledge that you must put before the other brother. That's what he's trying to say in 1 Timothy. The emphasis in 1 Timothy is the charge to keep on going with the right doctrine. Here is a challenge to Timothy, and Titus is a change that we have seen those three main focus. So the pattern of sound words. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Again, this is what you have learned, and I am witness that you know this doctrine. But I am ashamed, I am sad that you are not following through. This is the only person, really interestingly, except for Titus, that Paul is emphasizing to continue on with the ministry. Yes, he encourages Ephesian elders, and they are supposed to, but this is the right thing we have. This is very interesting. You must continue on. And he was probably as dear to him, as we learned in the first few verses, as a dear child who was trained by Paul. What is the pattern to continue? Another verse. It is an interesting one. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound word. So, this is the pattern. There is a pattern shown by Christ. There is a pattern shown by me. If anybody does not follow that, then we have a problem. And description of them are following that verse. He is puffed up with conceit, understands nothing, has an unhealthy craving for controversial quarrels. brothers and sisters, don't we have enough of that? It is said that there are 9,000 different Christian sects. 9,000 different. That is an amazing. You should take any other sort of religions. Christianity, I normally want to say it's not a religion, it's a way of life. But if you take any other religion, they don't have too many of those. But we are experts. The Christian theology has been twisted around so badly. So here is an early writing in the 80, 66 or so. Paul is only 30 years after the birth of the church. He is saying, this is coming. It is here. It will come. So contrast, continue in what you heard, firmly believe, not the other. We saw these verses earlier. So I will come back to the pattern in a minute, but I want to continue on with the study of the rest of the verses here. Paul's directives are continued. He says, guard the treasure. So he's telling Timothy that this word, this true and genuine and pure doctrine, is a treasure. It's a treasure. Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babbling and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. There's a lot of philosophy out there. There is a prime example of to avoid such things. I may be wrong, but I believe it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, bringing every thought unto the captivity or the obedience of Christ Jesus. Right above it is all the philosophies that were coming in the Corinthian church. But bringing every thought to the obedience, the thought, there may be the philosophies or the thoughts of men who are coming into the church that are contrary to the word of God. Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we were to apply that in our life, which is not our focus today, but that's a good verse to meditate upon. Bringing every thought into subjection or obedience. The greatest responsibility of a teacher is to provide unadulterated truth. Brethren, I tell you, and I cannot say this enough, we are so privileged. There are not too many other out there that actually gives unadulterated truth. I don't mean brethren. There is a vast sect of other theological group we don't probably not too closely associate with have this truth. But there is even a greater amount of unadulterated truth out there. Not unadulterated. Falsely calling truth. I was watching a miserable video the other day. Somebody put it as a shame. Here is a well-known evangelist, he calls himself, son, actually making some proclamations about miracles happening, and it was, and that is also called Christianity. That's a shame. That is also the non-religious or non-Christians out there who do not know. They think of it as Christianity too, and they laugh at it. But following, this may come. This is there. This is out there in the world. It has been there. It is here, and it will be there until the Lord comes. But our responsibility is to continue with the truth, guard it as a treasure. That is the fourth directive Paul gives Timothy. How is Timothy supposed to do this? He says, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. It is not our effort. If we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us, not as falsely claimed, but if the Spirit is directing us, the proclamation of the gospel, the truth of the word of God, is never under human power. It is the work of God. The protection of the purity of the gospel is also under the work of God. He will keep a remnant. But we need to understand that and continue on with that truth that is already revealed to us. Both are done under the power, the protection and the proclamation. The proclamation is our primary duty, and the protection of it is also our duty. Both are asked by Paul to Timothy. Don't be timid, proclaim the gospel, take up your responsibility. Don't give in an inch onto false doctrine. So then there are other interesting factors that affect ministry. It is the supporters and deserters. In every ministry, there will be opposition. And in every ministry, hopefully, there will be supporters, people who help. It's hard to go into an unknown area and start a ministry. But people do that, and God provides some supporters. So here is a great example of Onesiphorus. It's a Greek guy name, I think it's hard to, for me at least. And he gives such a wonderful testimony about this person. He says, he often refreshed me. You know, Paul's life, we don't need to dwell on that right now too much, but how hard it was, how difficult it was, but he refreshed me. It's good to refresh the hands of those who minister. Not only as an evangelical side, but anyone who ministers, as brothers and sisters, we can help each other. A helping hand, a kind heart. We don't need to send money to the unknown country of Africa to help someone. We don't. We should, if we can. Help your neighbor. I mean, the immediate neighbor. I don't mean it in the massive use of the term. Have a kind heart. Have that tenderness of Christ who was willing to touch the untouchables of that day. He often refreshed Paul. He was not ashamed of the chains of Paul. Many others were. Their names are, give me the first, it will come at last in this one. He searched out Paul. Do we have an interest in searching out with others? Whoever his ministry is happening, is there a helping hand I can offer? Practical things. He served in Ephesus. There is a wonderful testimony of a brother from Ephesus coming to Rome, searching out Paul, not ashamed, not afraid to even die. Many others were. That's a wonderful testimony. These people deserted Paul. Phygeres and Hermogenes. And many. And he has many who he's not even wanting to name them. They were in Asia. So they deserted him. It's a call of a heart that is really hurting, because he is not really seeing in the people the amount of love that he may have wanted, and companionship and comfort. And sometimes, I remember somebody saying to me, and I think I said that here some time ago, a brother said, all I want you to do, and it was to me, just come visit us. There is sometimes a craving for other people to come and associate and help and support in ministries. Those who have gone to lonely places, their heart is poured out before God. But they know that craving, and they have that craving, and we have that responsibility. So I shared here basically what we learned from these verses, and I want to go back and ask, at least look at some of the other areas as a what was the purpose of, as a summary, just a quick summary, the encouragement that was given. I think I touched on that when we were studying the first week or second week, that do we encourage people enough? You know, when we study the scripture, just passing over good doctrine and understanding them just is not enough. Sometimes we need practical applications. Do we have the spirit of encouragement in us? When you see a brother or sister for the doing something that is encouraging, uplifting, do you encourage them? Do we encourage them? Do we have the heart to go and say, yeah, that was good, I appreciate it, or how can I help? Do we have that? Do we need to fan into flame the work that maybe that could be happening by others that we could support, help, encourage others, rekindle, help others to do that? Do we need to admonish anyone? Do we shy away from properly admonishing others? Paul, even though Timothy was dear to him, was not afraid to admonish him. Sometimes people take it wrongly. They may not take it the right way, but that's okay. Hopefully they won't hate you or us. So I thought maybe we will go to a little bit of the sharing of pattern. Sharing something about the word pattern. Follow the pattern is what was given by Paul. There is a pattern that we need to follow. Pattern is not a new word or model. The first one is imitation. That is, I don't speak Greek, but I took the Greek dictionary and took these words out. This is the word, Greek word, translated imitator or a follower. So the directive, the last directive was, no, the one before that was follow the pattern, then guard the treasure. So follow the pattern. What is there to follow? How do we follow? And the pattern is right here. It's a cut. We can say it's a cookie cutter in simplified form. That quite is not the meaning. You know, it's a sketch. My mother used to do sewing, and she, 45 years ago maybe, and she had patterns that she brought from the store, and she would sew after that. So if she wanted 5 cushions done properly, the same design, she would use that same pattern, so it would replicate. For imitation, follow something. Follow the pattern. What is it that? Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me. God is a God of order. God is a God of order. For the people of Israel, He gave specific laws. It was not like this. It was very specific. We don't apply the ceremonial ones today. The moral ones still stand. But He gave them specific direction. For the design of the tent, there was a pattern shown and a pattern given. And they were not allowed to actually make a slight variation to it. For the articles of everything inside the tent, there was a model and a pattern given. And He, Moses and Aaron, were to look over this and exactly make sure they are the way it was. And it is given as a directive from God to Moses, exactly as I show. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. Actually, Stephen brings this up in Acts 7:44. He says, there was a pattern. And the Hebrew writer brings it up saying, they serve a copy of the shadow. Even if it only was a copy of the shadow, it was important for the writer of Hebrews to bring that up. It is actually dealing with the sacrifices and Christ's sacrifice, but a pattern. So what is it that we are to follow? Who are we to follow? What are we to follow? Christ and His teachings predominantly, primarily. And we heard all about that this morning. We did not share notes, but I'm so glad the Spirit of the Lord worked in this way. His teachings and lifestyle is our pattern. There is no other pattern for us right now. That is the pattern. His teaching is the pattern, the model, the cutter by which we should go. This is a command that was given. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. There was no leeway given in them. It was affirmative. It was concrete. It was absolute. And calling the crowd with his disciple, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That, we heard, is the most said. The verse actually after them. Here we have an interesting, what does it mean to deny the self? To do the will. Doing the will of the Father was Christ's sole purpose. Coming into this world, he did the will of the Father. Father, if it is your will, but it was not his will, it was the will of the Father that made him take up the cross. Doing the will of the Father. Take up the cross is sometimes confused and misunderstood. It simply means, in a very simplified way, deny our desire. It is hard because there is a force working in me and you that goes against it. So it becomes a hardship or a burden sometimes, or difficult, because our minds are trained and patterned after thinking about our will, our desire, our ways, my wants. But take up the cross, go against that cut, go against it and follow. Follow him, the pattern. And in the Old Testament it says, you are not cut out for that. Here it is, the verse. I will read only from where I highlighted. Not to follow after your own heart, because it is there. And your own eyes, which you are inclined. The word is very strong there. Inclined to war after. That is what is in us. So taking up the cross does not, don't right away imagine the cross of Christ that he carried to the hill. But it is the difficulty of daily executing, following after God and his commandments. This pattern, that is the difficulty. And apostles and their teachings, we have a pattern. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. There's a pattern that we actually follow. And to continue on with the ministry, that was a directive that was given, the right teachings. So what are we to follow now? Apostles and their examples. So here is an example by Paul. He says, I urge you then to be imitators of me. I don't think anyone of us can match that. But be imitators of me. He gave up his entire life. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So, Paul can say that because he said, I am imitating Christ. Well, it doesn't end there. He says in Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to examples you have in us. So if we see good examples among us, that is a good pattern. But our focus should be the pattern of Christ, then the apostles. And if you have good examples, these are Paul's words through the Holy Spirit coming to us. And Paul says to him in 2 Timothy, a few chapters later here, you have followed my teaching. So Timothy was following. Timothy was actually doing this until he got intimidated. He is saying, however, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, why would Paul waste us if we were to think it that way, which is not right? He is saying, Timothy, You have done this. These are the things that you could follow. These are the things you could follow. My sufferings, my persecutions. What a tremendous testimony Paul has. What a tremendous testimony. Wonderful to actually follow after. There are other patterns that we can follow in the epistles. We covered some of it in about an year ago when I was taking the general outline. These are written for all believers, so it could be a pattern for us to follow. These are directives from Paul so that we could follow. And then there are patterns to be of behavior, character, and duties of leaders and elders. You know, we saw them, see them in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, Acts 6, 4, Acts 20, 28. They're a great responsibility Paul gives to the Ephesian leaders. Protect, guard, teach, shepherd your folk. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, one of the great passages for leadership. Primary responsibility of the leadership or the elders are to watch out the faith for the faith and teaching. Continuation, sustenance, the primary focus. That is a pattern not to be ignored. There are patterns for deacons. I was recently, I kind of came across this. Stephen and Philip were two of the seven in Acts 6. And Philip is called an evangelist. We see Stephen actually making an evangelistic proclamation in chapter 7. Evangelists. Deacons, sometimes jobs are sometimes misunderstood. The qualities for a deacon are almost qualifications, as we call them, or character qualities in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is almost only like in 2 or 3. I don't know exactly how many in detail. Same as that of the elders. They have a pattern to be followed. There are patterns of modesty and general behavior in godliness. We emphasize something else. Not like that, but this should be your pattern. Godliness is actually not in good works sometimes translated. Really is doing what is asked us to do by the word of God. Good works is good, but don't misunderstand godliness as that. Following the pattern. There are patterns to follow. Many other ones in here for older men, younger women in the pastoral epistles. I don't have the time or the freedom to do that right now. Older women, younger women, widows. There are patterns for them for behavior. Just in the epistles, these three epistles only. For those work for others and those who are under bondage. How to behave at your workplace. How to respond to civil authorities. There are many, many, many other that we could follow. But follow this if we can this morning. May the Lord allow us to do that. To follow the patterns. At least our primary pattern, which is in Christ Jesus. And his life may be our pattern. I think I took up 5 more minutes of yours, but thank you. I get emotional sometimes in these matters, but it is the passion in my heart that drives it. I hope you get the wind of that. And may the Lord allow us to think about these things. Follow the pattern. There was no excuse in the past. There was no leeway given. We sometimes abuse our freedom. Then Galatians is, you know, written, so we are free. We are free from the ceremonials, but we are not free to do whatever we want. We don't have that freedom. May the Lord allow us to think through this. Shall we close in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the directives given in your word that we must follow. Thank you for the scripture that is given to us so that we may understand it and live like your children, glorifying your name. Watch over us as we part. Be with us. Be with us, our lives, our thinking, our children, our families. We commit each one of them above all this assembly in your hands. May your grace and love and protection and providence follow us. In Christ's name we pray.